Evergreen University, the premier academic institution for studies in the ultra-liberal arts. An education at Evergreen will prepare you for a rewarding career in one of several growing fields. Highway obstruction engineering, spontaneous statue relocation, Twitter shaming, hyperbole distribution, spray paintology, autonomous republic management, opinion shouting, hate speech labeling, biology rejection, Marxist yoga studies, and many, many more. In just 8 weeks, you could have a doctorate in white guilt. Don't worry about tuition. Your Evergreen education could be completely free with our hopefully taxpayer-funded scholarship program. Evergreen University, a safe space to learn. Admission guaranteed with proof of ideological compliance. An equal opportunity educational institution, unless you have a white penis. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmut and Ryan Sack. This episode, Jack's Not a Swinger, Dungeons and Dragons, an interview with the head of the DHS.
Since we last did a podcast, you and I have, you and I have gotten, no, we're not going to talk about that. You and I have gotten together with our families.
Yes.
And we came up, my family, my wife and two children came to visit you and your family.
Yeah, you did.
So how do you think the visit went?
Well, I gained a pair of tiny flip-flops.
Oh.
Yeah. So it kind of paid off.
That pays for itself.
Yeah. I thought it went great. Your kids are lovely. Your wife's lovely. My wife loves you guys. Kids are adorable. Your wife brought a Rice Krispies dish that we gave her endless grief over as a joke.
Yes. We did.
And a bottle of wine that we gave her endless grief over. jokingly called cooking wine.
Yep.
We're really nice hosts.
No, you're great. You really make her feel good.
But, you know, it was all in jest. Because you wouldn't joke with somebody if you didn't feel comfortable, right? You know, there's some people you have to tiptoe around.
Yeah.
So that you don't upset them.
Yep.
And then other people, it's kind of like you can joke around, just be yourself.
And all that joking around makes us walk around on tiptoes. So that's really awesome.
Oh, and that pays off really well then.
Yeah, it does.
So did you have a good time?
That's all right.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I could see you so I could see like if you're making a face or something, but just got a black rectangle.
Well, it's you know, like the classic stink face.
Yeah,
that's kind of what my face looks like right now.
Oh, okay, so the normal expression.
Yeah, my resting stink face.
Your resting stink face.
Yeah, no, it was it was a lovely time. You know what was nice about it is that it actually felt like a vacation.
Yeah, well, because you guys have been like super locked down.
Yes, we have.
We're the first swinging couple that you guys came to see. We're swingers.
Yeah, which we did not. We just wanted to sort of socialize and play some games and have some good food and wine and stuff. We were not necessarily wanting to do any of that. So it made us feel a little uncomfortable.
When I came downstairs wearing nothing but a silk teddy.
Yeah, that was really upsetting. And, was like, and it only covered your midriff.
That's right. Yeah, it's short. I shrunk it in the wash. I really thought.
You got it, though.
I thought I'd get a like a sexier reaction from you guys, but it was just a lot of shock.
It was. I mean, the kids were not happy. The kids were not happy to see that.
Should not. I didn't realize they were already up.
Well, it was 2:30 in the afternoon, Brian.
Yeah, I just figured that was a good time to you know see if you guys were swingers.
Yeah, that's not a sexy time. Like, if we were swingers, or if we could possibly consider that, that would never work for us.
2:30 in the afternoon is not a romantic time, despite the song "Afternoon Delight."
Well, that's true, but like, you know, I'm trying to set up, you know, "Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs" on the DVD player, and all of a sudden, there's your.
Sorry about that. I guess it was a misunderstanding. But now that we know you're not swingers, or at least you're not at 2:30 in the afternoon, who knows? Maybe you'll come back up another time. We'll try it at like 6:30 at night.
Well, but that's the thing. I didn't really like what you pulled at 6:30 at night. You want to tell everybody what happened at 6:30 when you were like, well, we're going to see if the Helmuts are down for this.
Yeah. Well, we called it Romanian roulette.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, and you want to tell people what the, how the, how do you play that game?
Four people, mm-hmm. four needles, one of which has heroin in it. Mm-hmm. And the other three are just water. Placebo. Yeah. Placebo.
Yeah.
And everybody draws a syringe, injects it, and then the fun ensues.
Well, the fun ensued for Betsy, but not for, for me or you or your wife.
Well, yeah. But
my wife was having the time of her life.
Yeah, I know. She just, she loves heroin.
My gosh, it's like, I mean, it's like she was addicted immediately to it.
And how long between, like, from her first hit of heroin until she no longer cared about having children or a husband? Like, it was a matter of like 2 days, right?
No, it was like 5 minutes before she took the heroin, she got to that point.
Oh, really?
That's how powerful it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
She might have sensed it.
She, that may have been why she may have rigged the game, to be honest with you.
Because now she's got the excuse, like, because it's weird if you just don't love your spouse and kids, but it's more tolerable if you, if it's because of an addiction.
Yeah, of course.
So she wanted to be addicted to heroin.
I guess so. I mean, maybe people, you know, aren't going to look at you, look down upon you if you can say that you're addicted to drugs. If you're addicted to heroin, then you're not a bad mother, a bad wife.
You're right. You can always ask for a second chance later on when you get tired of heroining.
That's true. And I was going to wait until after the program to ask you this sort of a sidebar, but have you seen Betsy? Because we haven't seen her in days, and the kids are starting to, they cried a lot last night. She didn't make it back with us.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that. Well, I've got good news and bad news.
Oh, great. What's, I don't know which I want first. Just tell me.
Well, the good news is that deer on our property.
Yeah. The one that was stuck inside your fence.
That was like eating her hydrangeas and stuff and eating plants and things. We got rid of it.
Oh, that's great.
The bad news is it wasn't a deer.
What?
Yeah. She was acting very deer-like. I don't know if that's a heroin thing, because frankly, I don't do it. Uh-huh. But she had this deerish demeanor and had been prancing about the property and jumping through bushes and really seemed immune to thorns, because there are plenty of thorns around here. And so I mistook her for a deer.
How would you... Betsy wears capri pants.
Yeah, so after we downed the deer and we, upon further inspection, we saw the capri pants, it seemed weird that a deer would wear those. And that's when the kind of the Betsy-ish qualities of the deer began to reveal themselves.
Like, what was the number one Betsy-ish quality of that deer?
The deer looked very much like the woman who had just spent the weekend with us. Very familiar shirt that Betsy had been wearing shortly before you guys left for the city. The innards had spilled out what I thought were the innards, but it was just a bunch of business cards with Betsy's name and company on it. So, which made me realize that it wasn't a deer.
Right. There are no deer that work for Affordable Interior Design. It's it's my wife who does.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her business.
It was. Yep.
It was her business.
Yep.
God, I mean, Brian, I'm going to say I'm a little peeved right now.
No, I can imagine it's upsetting. I get that. I can empathize.
Oh, empathy means a lot. I thank you for that, pal. What now? Why? How? You know, it's almost too painful to think about. But how did she go? You said you got rid of her. You said you killed the deer. But how did she go?
Well, my sons have airsoft rifles.
Yep.
That fire little, really hard plastic BBs. And one or two. Not a biggie. Might not even break a skin.
Sure.
But 4,000 to 5,000, and just a steady stream will bring down a deer.
Yeah, or 120 pounds a woman.
Yeah.
It's,
well, in fairness, though, she lost about 10 pounds from prancing about the woods.
Just in 2 days, just from
Yeah.
I guess she had a lot of heroin energy or something.
She did. Yeah.
She's a cocaine that does that.
Very developed calves. Just really, I was impressed with her physically.
Sure.
Just for, she seemed to have lived, very brief, active lifestyle.
And do you think she lost 10 pounds, huh?
You know, I'm guessing, but,
damn.
Yeah, no, it was quite a shock. Also a lot of airsoft BBs. I mean, we have, they're like liter bottles filled with BBs. They're about 1,000 in each. We went through 4 or 5 of them, I think.
I bet that seems like, it seems like a lot.
Oh, it was a ton. Just constantly refilling our magazines and just firing and firing. And fortunately all the kids have their own airsoft weapons. So we were able to maintain a steady stream. So two could be firing while one was refilling.
And was the deer screaming at this point?
Yeah.
And was that a red flag? Because not a lot of deer scream in a language that'd be understood by you.
No, you're right. I mean, the last time a deer and I had communication, it really just hissed at me and then ran off. So yeah, this is, stop it. Ow, please. No. Ah, Brian. Ah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's, you know, should I have set off an alarm? Yes. I'd be the first one to admit it. But you know, the adrenaline's pumping. You're in a heat of the moment. It's kind of like when the police, you know, they pull the trigger once, and then it's like, well, why not 15 other times, right?
You know, I don't think that's right.
It's just kind of you're in that moment. You're in that zone. You're in the shooting zone. And you know, we were there, and it's a good thing, you know, to do with your sons, because it's kind of like a character building and bonding experience. And you know, we all work together to bring down a deer.
But not a deer.
No. And they're very upset about that, because they did like her.
I know they did. Yeah, that seems like they had a nice little relationship.
Yeah, they were calling her Aunt Betsy.
Aw.
Yeah.
And so when they realized, and they didn't know either through that whole time where they were just unloading round after round into her?
My kids are trained to do exactly what I tell them. So when I said, you know, light her up, meaning the deer, you know, they obliged.
I'm going to now have to go in and tell my kids that their mom was shot to death by Uncle Brian.
If it's any consolation, it took a long time. She was alive for quite a while.
How would that be consolation?
Well, because she got some extra living time.
Oh, that is nice. You know, when I think about it that way, you know, every moment of life is really an invaluable moment.
That's right.
That's really nice to think about. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Now, I know you've like had to deal with a dead cat before, like a cat who's passed away.
Sure.
In terms of like telling your children and explaining it to them, how do I explain this to my kids? What would you recommend as a dad who may have been through something like this before? Because I'm going to be honest with you, my kids are going to be upset.
Yeah. One of the good things about pets is that it kind of teaches kids about death early. Right. So, and they're close to a cat or a dog, and then that cat or dog passes on, and they learn a lesson. Okay. Not everything, you know, life is a temporary gig. You know?
Right.
And so it's a good life lesson for them. So what I would do is what my dad did when my mother passed.
Oh, which is what?
He insisted she was a cat. And I kept saying, no, I'm pretty sure it was my mom. And he's like, no, your mom was a cat. And it's a terrible tragedy, but it was just a cat.
Oh.
So I would do that. I would tell your kids, you know, mommy kitty is gone. she went to cat heaven, and you know, you're going to get a new mommy soon. Thanks to all these, apps and websites that really facilitate, the introduction of men and women, or men and men, or women and women, and men and two women and a man.
Ooh.
A man who's 60 and two girls who are in their 20s who want to stay at his house for a couple of weeks, or, you know, there's so many options.
A number of those sound appealing.
Seekingarrangement.com.
Okay, cool. That's a potential new sponsor for us, I think. So how long do I have to grieve, or to at least seem like I'm grieving? Because I feel like, I mean, I'm really devastated by this, but I kind of feel like it's time to move on for my family.
Yeah, I think you should. For your family's sake, you know, what would she want? You know, what would your deer want?
She's not a deer, Brian. Right. Brian, she's not a deer.
You're right. What would your wife want? Well, she'd want you to be happy. She'd want the kids to be happy. There's no point in you guys sitting around moping and crying and sobbing over spilt mommy. And, you know, so you want to just kind of move forward.
Okay.
So what I would do is tonight you sit the kids down with dinner. I assume it'll be something ordered or whipped out from a box because you're not much of a cook, right? Okay. So right.
Plus I have a date tonight.
Oh, there you go. So you have, you're thinking ahead. So you sit the kids down, it's really sad. Your mom, the cat, is gone.
Nope. Oh yeah. Okay. Right. The cat.
Uh-huh. Your mom, the kitty cat, is gone, but we need to move on. I'm going to let you have all the screen time you want tonight because, in a few minutes, what's your friend's name?
Her name's Linda.
Linda will be coming over and I'd like you to meet her. And I really hope you guys hit it off.
Huh?
It's exciting. I mean, I'm excited.
It is. Thanks, but I'm really excited too. Now Linda's only coming over for an hour. I was kind of hoping she wouldn't meet the kids. Cause I only gave her, I don't know why she gets paid in flowers, but she costs 200 roses for the hour.
Okay.
And so she's coming over and she was going to have a date with me for an hour and I'm going to give her 250 roses. I forget the exact amount we settled on.
Okay.
But I don't even know, why would a woman want to be paid in flowers?
Well, now you've got caught up in the classic, first time with a hooker conundrum.
What?
Yeah. So prostitutes, they use a special language. They speak in code. So when they say 250 roses for an hour, that actually means dollars. It's currency.
Oh, so, that's a really tricky code.
Yeah. Well, it's illegal to advertise sex in exchange for money, but in exchange for flowers, it's quite all right. And the feds, they have no idea what's going on. The cops look at that. They're like, oh, she must love roses.
I mean, this is like the imitation game. Like, that's an uncrackable code.
Well, I cracked it.
Good for you.
Yeah. It was an interesting experience.
No, for sure.
I had Rebecca at the house and I said, so tell me something, you know, what's up with the roses thing? And she goes, it's not roses. Well, she goes, and she says to me, are you a cop? And I said, do I look like a cop? And she said, actually, kind of. And I looked in the mirror and I agree, I do look like kind of a cop.
Yeah.
So I said, I give you my word that I am not a police officer. I am simply a lonely, lonely man.
Aww.
And she said, okay, well, the truth is it's not actual roses we're talking about, it's dollars. And I said, So it's $250 for an hour. And she said, yes. And I said, that sounds great. And then my wife turned to me and said, what the blank are you talking about? Get that blank out of here. Right, blanking now.
Wow.
Furious.
Your wife says blank a lot. It's too bad her Polish hasn't gone away where she could use English swear words.
Yeah, well, blank in Polish is a phenomenal swear.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I learned a valuable lesson. My wife didn't care to learn it, but now I know the tricks of the trade.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thanks, Brian. So, so tell the kids and then... screen time is really going to make the pain go away. Yes. What you're saying.
Screen time will ease any pain. So you just say, kids, all the screen time you want tonight. And I want you to ignore any sounds or vibrations you may experience in the next 60 minutes or three.
Okay. And people aren't going to think that I'm being insensitive, that I wasn't a good enough husband, if I'm not walking around mourning Becky.
Some people will think that.
Mm-hmm.
And those people could be right. They could be wrong, but we don't care. You have to live your life. You have to follow your dreams. In the words of Anna Nicole Smith, follow your dreams.
You got to stop quoting her so much.
She had a profound impact on my life.
I know she did. It's beautiful, but enough's enough. Well, so I mean, should I start wearing a t-shirt with Becky's name on it? Like to show how much I miss her? Because then everyone will sort of be like, wow, he really misses his wife. Like he really loved Becky.
Yeah. Oh, Becky. Yeah, sure. I mean, I was confused because I thought your wife had a different name. But if you want to call her Becky, that's fine.
Betsy. Son of a gun. Sorry. Betsy. gosh, it's like she's been gone for so long, you know?
Yep.
God, I'm lonely. Well, thanks for getting me through this, Brian.
It's what I do, Jack. When I kill my friends' wives, I help coach them through the trauma and bring them to a better place.
Wow. That's really great. Well, thank you. What did you do with the body? Just last question.
We had what I would call a ceremony.
Aw, that's so nice.
Yeah.
What kind of ceremony?
It's the kind of ceremony where you drop a body off in the middle of the parkway and make it seem like she was struck by a car and a hit and run. One of those ceremonies.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's how she would have wanted it. So, hey, Brian.
No,
that's not how you respond. Try it again. Hey, Brian.
Yes, Jack.
Well, it's so much better, Brian.
You're right.
Yeah, just yes and me here, pal. So I was talking to my friend Andrew today about Dungeons and Dragons. Do you know Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes.
Okay, I don't believe you. Tell me what Dungeons and Dragons is.
It is a game where people who've never kissed a girl go and fight goblins.
Oh, gosh, you know exactly what it is.
In a map.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They go in a, there's, well, you got dungeons, obviously.
Sure.
And dragons, obviously, because that's, who else would live in a dungeon but a dragon?
That's a good point. What if the title was ironic and what if you're totally wrong?
Oh, maybe I am wrong. Well, why don't you tell me what Dungeons and Dragons is?
Well, everything you said is completely right. So it's a role-playing game.
Yes,
so
role-playing.
You create a character, yeah, and the dungeon master or the DM will sort of take you through, guide you through an adventure with your character. Your character is going to have certain stats, he or she is good at, what their skills are. You know, maybe they would have more strength or speed or endurance or constitution or, maybe mana, which is like magical power, things like that. And then you sort of go on this adventure and try to accomplish the task set out by the dungeon master.
Yes.
So I was thinking maybe it would be fun if you and I played a game of Dungeons and Dragons, because they also say it's a really good predictor of certain behaviors in people. Sort of your D&D character is almost like a personality test.
Oh, interesting.
So I would sort of be interested to see what I can learn about you through playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to be the dungeon master. So I'm going to sort of run this show. Brian, why don't we create a character for you?
Yes.
What is your character's name?
Brian.
How about something a little bit more, not you?
Not me. Right, because I'm role-playing.
Role-playing. You want to play a different role.
Okay. Thargon.
Thargon.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what is Thargon's race? Like, elf, dwarf, orc, human.
Can you say dwarf? Isn't it like little person?
You know what? In D&D hasn't caught up to that sort of wokeness yet. It's a real black mark on the game.
I'll be an elf because I like the ears.
Okay. Thargon the elf. All right.
Thargon the elf.
And what are some of Thargon's special powers?
Oh, I can detect lies.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I like that.
And I need a second special power for Thargon.
Second special power.
Yep.
I'm very attractive to people.
Okay. And to other elves or just people?
Everybody thinks I'm hot.
Everybody thinks you're hot.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That's a fun thing to role play. And, what does Thargon do? Does he, is he a blacksmith? Is he, does he work on a farm? Does he work in an inn?
Ooh, he's a Fletcher.
A Fletcher.
Yeah, I make bows. It's
very smart for an elf.
Yeah. I make really good high quality bows.
That's fantastic. Now, are you ready for your first big Dungeons and Dragons adventure with Thargon the elf?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Okay, cool. So, now, remember,
yeah,
the decisions you're going to make playing this role,
okay,
are going to greatly impact all of the choices of the adventure. So,
so if like you choose open the door, don't open the door, that kind of stuff. Like I go that way, I go this way.
Absolutely. All those decisions have a massive impact on where the game goes.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yep.
So yeah, if you open the door, you know, there could be a treasure chest behind there, or it could be an army of goblins that could kill you.
Okay. Jeez.
So every decision is going to matter, and you're going to want to ask a lot of questions about the surrounding environment to sort of try and figure that out. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. So Thargon lives in the city of Rocklandia.
Rocklandia. Okay.
Yes. Thargon is walking down the street.
Okay.
And a woman, a human woman, walks up to him and says, "You are beautiful." What do you respond?
Where's the dragon?
She takes out a dagger and stabs you in the neck.
So I'm dead?
Yeah, you're dead. The game's over. Your choices matter in this game. So what do you think of our game of Dungeons and Dragons?
I mean, I didn't get to really explore.
Well, you explored that part of the street.
But I mean,
there's barreled over on the left.
There was no conversation. She just said I was beautiful, which got me excited. But then she stabbed me in the throat.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about.
I mean, can like a wizard come and bring me back to life so I can find out what happened?
No, the wizards are away. There's a convention.
So I got killed by a beautiful woman like 2 seconds after strolling into Rocklandia.
Yeah. And it's really sort of a low status way to die. So now, there's nothing you can do. So right now, there's a series of dwarves, and yes, I'm sorry, but we do call them that. A series of dwarves are taking your body and dumping it into an unmarked grave.
Can they not give me a potion or something to heal me and then maybe bring me?
No, they have a lot of those potions on them, but they're choosing not to use them. They just can't respect someone who would give themselves up so easily to a woman, really a young girl.
I mean,
she's like 15.
Maybe she feels bad and she wants to kind of fix what she did to me.
No, maybe don't sexualize a 15-year-old. Like I know she looked older, but don't be a freaking weirdo. You know what I mean? Don't be a creep.
So, can I go back to Rocklandia and try again?
You're in the Rocklandia unmarked grave section of town.
Can I move to the local main street?
You can move to the main street of hell, which is where Thargon now lives. He descended to the pearly gates. This all happened while you were whining like a little bitch about this. And I rolled my 12-sided die, and unfortunately it came up a six all three times, which of course means that you were rejected at the pearly gates and are now suffering at the hands of Satan in the depths of hell. But there are no choices to make. I mean, the game is over, but it's not a good death. What is happening to your body above ground and what is happening to your soul below is not something I would wish on anybody, even you, who I don't really respect.
I feel like Dungeons and Dragons should be more fun. I don't feel like I had a good experience.
I had a blast. What's your problem?
I was excited for my character to kind of blossom.
This is why people stab you in the throat, dude. Just listen to yourself. Play back this when you're editing this podcast. Listen back to yourself and be like, would I want to sleep with him? Would I want to go to an adventure with him and fight dragons? Or would I stab him in the throat because he's a whiny little bitch?
Okay.
Listen back and tell me. Tell me next episode. That'll be a cliffhanger.
All right.
Have you been following all the stuff that's been going on in Portland lately?
Who hasn't been following all the stuff that's been going on in Portland?
Well,
it's in Portland.
Yeah. Well, I assume that's a rhetorical question. I do get it. It's fantastic. It goes on our best of reel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know you say who hasn't, but maybe just for those couple of folks who maybe are a little bit off on what's going on, why don't you just give them the brief 20-second thumbnail of what's happening?
Well, Portland is in Oregon.
Okay, good. That's a great summary, and I appreciate that. I was thinking a little bit more of what's going on sort of in current events.
Right, right. Well, you know, you have a lot of riots going on.
Yeah, good, good.
You know, the whole Black Lives Matter protesting and this stuff getting broken. And Portland's already kind of a hotbed of a lot of kind of left-wing movements and, you know, the Antifa people with their blackety outfits and their clonkety clonks and the breaking things and spray painting stuff, as they say in show business. And And then now, you know, it's gotten, it got the feeling that it's kind of like anarchy, like the government's not really doing their thing. The local government, the city government doesn't seem to be enforcing laws and stuff. And the police may be kind of sitting back a little bit, and it's kind of freaky. And so now people have showed up, and they're kind of, they look quasi-military there, and they're just kind of grabbing random protesters and tossing them in unmarked vans, minivans, and driving off.
So now, and we think that's the Department of Homeland Security is behind this. That President Trump has directed them to sort of go and bring peace to the area.
That seems to be the feeling. Yeah, it's the Department of Homeland Security, and they're grabbing these folks and I guess prosecuting them or not. We don't really know. It's kind of weird, isn't it? You'd expect this kind of behavior in certain countries, not so much this one.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. So what if I told you that I was able to book for today's show the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf?
Well, I'd call you a liar. I'd call you a liar, a provocateur, a Trotskyist, a wrecker, a saboteur, a thief, an enemy of the people, a wiener. I'd call you I'd throw the book at you.
Oh, a wiener?
Yeah.
Why would you have to go there?
Why not? It's a free country.
It is a free country. Well, except, not in Portland, but
except for the driving around throwing people in vans part.
Well, I am really disappointed in this, Brian. I did not expect to be called a wiener on my own podcast. This is a real kick in the wiener.
I don't expect to be lied to by my co-host, but you're telling me you've got the head of the Department of Homeland Security for an interview.
Well, guess what? It's the truth.
For our silly podcast.
Yes, Chad Wolf is on the other line right now, and we're going to talk to him. So take that.
Well, then fine. What?
What is it, Brian?
Yeah.
What, Brian? What's happening? Where are you? What's going on? Gosh, it sounded, if I know my automobiles, and I am an automobile expert, that sounded like an unmarked minivan. Doggone it. Just when we're about to interview Chad Wolf, Brian goes and gets himself abducted in the middle of a podcast. Well, that don't beat all. Oh, I have the worst luck. I tell you what, I am just living a cursed life. Folks, sorry about that. It seems as if Brian has gone in for some questioning. Maybe we can ask Chad Wolf about this. Chad, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, Chad. Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I don't know if you were listening just now, but do you know what happened to Brian just there?
I was not listening.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. I was signing memos.
Oh, my gosh. You really are a big person.
Very busy.
Wow, that's huge. I was wondering if you could sort of talk to us about what's going on in Portland. What's the situation on the ground like right now?
Well, as you know, there are lots of people misbehaving in Portland. Mm-hmm. And those people are rambunctious and naughty and breaky, and they're doing things that we would say are unkosher.
Mm-hmm.
And you need law enforcement to step in and tell these people, no, 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 don't you do that.
So again, you're perhaps the nation's biggest law and order expert, yes. Maybe the most powerful man.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you said, and what was that again? That quote?
The quote?
No, 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 don't do that.
No, no, don't you do that.
Okay. So how are you telling them, no, no, don't you do that? Are you, was that one of the memos that you just signed? Or are you passing out memos to the people? How are you telling them, no, no, don't do that?
What we're doing, we found that, you know, arresting people or clubbing them has negative consequences, negative reaction. People react negatively to being clubbed or tear gassed or arrested. So we came up with a new program, and it's the Wouldn't You Like to Be Doing Something Different program.
Okay. Okay.
So what we do is we drive around the city of Portland looking for people who are naughty and misbehaving. Mm-hmm. We pick them up and we place them in a beautiful minivan. And we drive them around and give them a little bit of a lecture. And the lecture goes like this. Sir or madam, look at this beautiful minivan. Wouldn't you like this minivan to be your minivan? Perhaps you'd be driving around your beautiful wife and your children in this exact minivan. Isn't that a lifestyle choice you would like to make right now, rather than being this rambunctious, spray-painty, breaky type vandal person, which no one likes? No one's going to like you if you do such a thing. But take a look at this minivan. Don't you think it's quite nice? 21 cup holders. Look at all the cup holders. You can hold a beverage on the side, in the middle console, in the back. Lots of options for beverage holding. Wouldn't you like this life better than your black block, Antifa, naughty ways? I think you would. Don't you agree?
Okay. And they could get out of the minivan whenever they want. Is that, would that be a true statement?
Depends how they answer that question.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that that's a legal thing. Now, I think some of these protests and some of these protesters, I think some of them probably have a good reason for being there. I think some of them are probably troublemakers. I think some of them are just doing something that's trendy. I think some of them, I think there's all sorts of people out there.
Oh, but yes.
This is America, whether we like them or not. Don't you think they have a right to be out and protesting?
Oh, they sure do. But wouldn't they like to have a chance to drive around in a beautiful minivan with their beautiful spouse and children in the back, living a nice life, as opposed to being some kind of vandally, breaky, spray-painty, thuggy type person?
That's what I would choose, but wait a minute. Now, how did you get this this person's wife and children?
Well, they don't have one yet. We're telling them the life that they could have. We're, in a way, like the ghost of Christmas future. This is what could be.
I see. And what happens if Scrooge decides that he wants to continue protesting in this version of the Christmas Carol?
Well, we go for a little drive. A little longer drive. And we ask him to reconsider. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
And when Scrooge says, no, you fascist, what happens at the end of that drive? He gets out and just returns to the streets, I assume, right?
Well, he gets out.
Oh, great.
At the top of Terror Peak, which is a beautiful mountain just outside of Portland. And from Terror Peak, you can see the entire city of Portland.
Oh, beautiful.
And we walk them up to the edge of Terror Peak. We point to the beautiful city and say, wouldn't you love to be driving around in that minivan with your spouse and kids, as opposed to, say, not driving in that minivan, maybe being a skeletal remains at the bottom of a peak outside of Portland? Winkety wink.
Now, do you, sir, do you actually say winkety wink, or do you wink?
That's classified.
That's the part you can't tell me?
That is the part I can't tell you. That has been redacted from all of our documents. Even if you file a Freedom of Information Act, you will not know of the winkety wink policy. Oof. Yes. It's that serious.
Guess so. Well, goodness. Okay. So, you know what? Again, I just want to push back here a little bit. I think I have a problem with that. I think whether I like a protester or not, I think that's a step too far. I think there are other ways to go to stop this sort of thing, to bring law and order back to the city. I think I would rather have the city almost be an unlawful mess than scooping up Americans against their will. I'm that much of a constitutionalist. What do you say to that?
It's not necessarily against their will, because they just don't know how much they'd like to be driving around in a minivan with their spouse and children.
Well, you're really selling this your image of Nirvana to these people.
It's the American dream: a minivan, a little house, wife, kids, picket fence, dog, no spray painting, no tearing stuff down, no breakety break, no smashity smash. Just a nice, wonderful, law-abiding life. That's what we're forcibly offering.
Now, Secretary Wolf, sometimes you use turns of phrase that I would not necessarily expect from a government official. Mm-hmm. Do you have any young kids at home by any chance?
I have 6 young kids at home, yes.
6 kids. Wow, that's amazing. So you and your wife sure got busy, huh?
2 of those children are ours.
Oh, well, congratulations.
The other 4 are temporarily ours. We found them in the back of a minivan.
Oh, no.
Yes. You know, that's exactly what people say when you snatch them and throw them in the back of your minivan. Oh, no.
Wow. That's the human mind is so predictable sometimes.
And that's what they say when we stand them at the edge of Terror Peak and ask them to reconsider for the 12th time.
Well, you, sir, are... committing crimes. And I'm going to do everything I can with the power and platform that I have with this podcast to bring up the fact that I may not like the protesters, but I like what you're doing even less. And I... Hold on. Hey! Get your hands off me! Oh, no!
Choose the minivan.
That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com.